This is CliffCentral.com. The Chainsmokers with Roses, CliffCentral.com. It is a Wednesday morning. It's the 26th of July already. We are for away this morning and looking after you in the traffic. If you're on your way to work, if you're already at work, if you're at the gym, whatever you might be doing this morning, keep us wherever you are on your phone and we'll keep you company. Right, Mubs?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's check out what we've got in the news this morning. There are important things going on. Can't be stupid.
No, you can't be stupid. Then you're not allowed to hang out with us.
No.
So the organization Undoing Tax Abuse, that would be Outer if you're just far too lazy to say the whole thing.
Right.
They have told Parliament that they have evidence that the load shedding that we experienced back in 2008 and 2014, remember those dark days?
Yeah. Was that also brought about by the Guptas?
Well, Outer are now saying they have evidence that it was self-inflicted by Eskom. The lobby group has also appealed to whistleblowers working at state-owned companies to be brave enough and continue coming forward with evidence of corruption and state capture. Now, Outer's Ted Blom is one such individual. He is a former Eskom employee, and he told the committee that he has evidence that Eskom may have engineered the two bouts of load shedding that hit the economy hard. He is claiming that key producers held Eskom hostage, which triggered the 2008 crisis, while maintenance was not performed between 2010 and 2014, which then caused another round of load shedding.
Which then strengthened the demand for Russian nuclear power.
Hmm.
It's not a big stretch, is it?
Connect the dots.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point, Ben.
Now, Outer have been briefing Parliament's Public Enterprises Committee on all of this, along with the South African Council of Churches and a group of academics, all of whom have now compiled reports on state capture, and they are ready to just release the files. Mm-hmm. The committee is preparing for an inquiry into Eskom, which is expected to get underway next week. The question, though, is how many inquiries has this country had? What comes of all those inquiries?
Nothing.
What action? What consequences? Like, what becomes of all of these inquiries? We have an inquiry every other week in this country at this stage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I don't know the answer. Maybe we should have an inquiry into all the inquiries. I think that's what we need.
Yeah.
Huh?
But who gets to conduct the inquiry, Gareth? That's critical.
The Grand Inquisitor. You know who he was?
No.
Torquemada.
That also doesn't help.
Torquemada was the Grand Inquisitor. He was the guy who led the Inquisition in Spain in the 1500s.
History time with Gareth Cliff.
That's right. It's time for a little history. Everybody, are you ready? It's going to be exciting. Let's get stuck in to your history this morning. Once there was a man called Torquemada back in Spain. He took a lot of people and he burnt them there in vain. He called them witches and Jews and things, and then he took them down because they weren't good Christians and they made him frown and frown.
Oh, yeah.
That's the story of Torquemada.
Feels like that happened
completely spontaneously. It did happen completely spontaneously. That's why the words are so shit.
That's a great song, though. Related to Torquemada.
Torquemada was the Grand Inquisitor of Spain, and he was a malignant, nasty human being.
Oof.
You know where charcuterie comes from? You know what charcuterie is?
Cured meats. I know them well.
Okay, now
charcuterie.
Is that
French?
It's French, but it's mostly a Spanish dish.
Okay.
Germans can charcuter some shit as well.
Correct. So what it is usually pork, and what would happen is that it was used as a way to trap Jews by the Spanish Christians involved in the Inquisition. They would basically offer charcuterie everywhere. And of course, if you said no, you might have been Jewish. Then they would haul you out of the room, and they would take you away, and they'd force you to convert, and if you didn't convert, they'd burn you.
Human beings are shitty.
Aren't they?
Didn't they also, like, if they had a problem with a woman person, they would be like, hey, you're a witch.
Yeah.
Like, hey, but no, yeah, no, I mean, just don't like what you said last week.
Yeah, exactly. My husband is not as nice a guy as you guys say he is. What? Witch? Burn her.
They would also like torture confessions out of people. Uh-huh. It's like, he confessed. Uh-huh. It only took 4 days of severe torture,
right,
but he
exactly.
confessed. Yeah. Like, it's not a confession. A confession's like, hey, did you do it? Yeah, right, I did it.
Exactly. That's Torquemada and his people. So there we go. That's who we need for the main Inquisition.
Hmm. But I mean, that is the perfect name for the Grand Inquisitor. Like, Torq, as in, it could be T-A-L, well, Torq or Torq, and Armada.
Well,
it's like badass. It's like a wrestler's name.
Mel Brooks from History of the World. Did you ever hear his song about the Inquisition?
No.
Oh, it's the best. Let me find that for you. But basically, he said, talk him out of this, talk him out of that.
See what he did there.
Yes, it was very good. Inquisition. What a horrible time in Spanish history. So Mel Brooks, the great comedian, he did a song called The Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. It's fantastic. This will get you dancing this morning. Here's Torquemada and his choir for The Inquisition. A little bit of Gothic chanting for you. Those are obviously the people they're torturing. You can imagine in some big castle, beating them, whipping them, stretching them on the wheel.
Bit of background worship.
1489, the Black Plague ravaged the continent. It was the hour of the infamous auto de fe, where for public amusement, heretics and non-believers were tortured and burned in a carnival-like atmosphere. And it was guided by the most fearful specter to ever sit in judgment over good and evil, the Grand Inquisitor, Torquemada.
All pay heed! Now enters His Holiness, Torquemada, the Grand Inquisitor of the Spanish Inquisition.
Here he comes. And it's Mel Brooks.
Torquemada, do not implore him for compassion. Torquemada, do not beg him for forgiveness. Torquemada, do not ask him for mercy. Let's face it, you can't Torquemada anything.
Let all those who wish to confess their evil ways and to accept and embrace the true church convert now or forever burn in hell. For now begins the Inquisition.
Are you ready? Let's go, ladies and gentlemen.
The Inquisition.
Let's begin.
The Inquisition.
Look out, Sam.
We have a mission to convert the Jews. We're gonna teach them
wrong from right.
We're gonna help them
see the light
and make an offer that they can't refuse.
That the Jews just can't refuse.
Confess. Don't be boring.
That's right.
Say yes.
Say yes, say yes.
Don't be dull.
A fact you're ignoring.
It's better to lose your skull cap than your skull.
Oh, you're gavalt.
The Inquisition.
What a show.
The Inquisition.
Here we go.
We know you're wishing that we'd go away. But the Inquisition's here and it's here to stay.
Isn't that fantastic? Doesn't it make you feel happy? It's the Inquisition like you've never seen it before. It's beautiful. Isn't that nice? All right.
Look, let's be honest. You can just say anything with a catchy tune and it'll sound great.
It does, right?
No. You're fired. I have herpes.
Well, let me...
You're getting a divorce. If you sing that, it will be fine.
In a let show me, tune fashion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, correct. Sia believes everything should be in music.
Fishnet stockings and you're good to go.
All right, Winnie Madikizela-Mandela said some interesting things to the BBC over the last couple of days. I don't know if you've heard this, Mubs.
Mm-mm.
Take a listen. Here is Winnie Madikizela-Mandela talking about how the ANC has messed up South Africa.
Something is very, very wrong. Something is very wrong with the history of our country. Something is very wrong with what we have done. And how we have messed up as the African National Congress.
Do you think this vote of no confidence will help or will it make things worse?
I honestly don't think it's going to make any difference either here or there, because the problems we have can only begin to be resolved, I think, in December. at conference. Any other solution at this time is a bit premature. It's too late for that.
So there she is, saying that the ANC has messed up South Africa.
Yeah,
how do you like that, in her own words?
That's definitely the chorus that everyone is chanting at this stage, I think.
Yep. Pretty hardcore words from her, though.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been a stalwart, you know?
Mm.
But it really does speak to the times, hey?
Mm-hmm. And she's even... Listen, you got to know, when you don't have Winnie's support in the ANC, you probably don't have anyone's support. Because she's the mother of the nation, right?
Mm.
Oh, all right. Back to you, Mubs. What do you got for us?
All right, so we spoke about bad Christians earlier.
Did we?
Well, you know, with the whole Torquemada thing, you were talking about how Christians were being terrible to other people.
Yes.
So the Vatican treasurer is going to be facing Australia courts on historical sex charges. No surprises here.
Historical sex charges.
Vatican sex.
I've had some historical sex in my time. Sorry.
Okay, all right.
Okay, then.
That would be Cardinal George Pell, who arrived at a court in his native Australia yesterday and made his first appearance to face sex charges as the most senior Roman Catholic official to face such accusations. And there are multiple of these charges. The 76-year-old is also the top advisor to Pope Francis. And he was escorted into the Melbourne Magistrates Court by police through a large crowd of media, protesters and supporters. I mean, it was almost akin to that shame bell scene, if you will, because people were screaming and shouting at him. But, you know, he didn't say anything. So, yeah, Pell is currently on leave from his Vatican role as Francis's economy minister, which he started back in 2014. Now, in testimony to an Australian government-backed inquiry into child abuse last year, Pell had said the church had made catastrophic choices by refusing to believe abused children, shuffling abusive priests from one parish to the next, and relying too heavily on the council of priests to solve the problem. And then it turns out that he was part of the problem because he just did horrendous things to young boys.
Oh, yeah, not cool ever.
God, it's disgusting.
But it's like also... You know, like, it's not to say, okay, like, it's the worst thing that can happen. Let's just start with, it's the worst thing a human can do, I think. But, like, and I'm not saying, oh, well, no, here's an excuse why it happened. But if there's ever going to be an environment conducive to that sort of thing, it's like taking people, forbidding them from having sex, and then putting them in the care, putting children in their care, and making them the most trusted, you know, theoretically, in the eyes of the child, the person that you can trust most.
Yeah, right? It's engineered pedophilia. It really is. It's like someone said, how can we molest boys legally? Okay, well, you guys just never have sex with people you should be having sex with, and we'll just supply you with boys.
And put them in your care and teach them from very young that you are like the ultimate confidant.
Yeah.
And your word is the most sacrosanct out of anyone's, including your parents or anybody.
No, it's like you've created the perfect conditions for that to thrive.
Exactly.
And then you wonder why it's thriving.
Almost to the point where I think if you were that way inclined, you might pursue it as a job so that you could do that.
Yeah.
God, I'm not going to be the cynic here, but I think a lot of people get into religion to molest children.
Well, you see, was going to ask the question, when you talk about it being engineered, it's almost like it's a kind of... like an organization, like the mafia, right? Because why is it so synonymous with the Catholic Church? You know what I'm saying?
Well, because they're the ones who say to their priests, you're not allowed to have a wife. That's why.
I don't think they're even allowed to have a wristy in their own private...
Yeah, masturbation is sinful. You're having sex with a woman is sinful. If you're a priest...
These are all bad ideas, but bad ideas 100 years ago. So when you multiply the effect of what stupidity is... Yeah. Like stupidity inflation. Ideas could not be any worse, yet they're still being upheld.
And also, don't forget to factor into account, like, part of these dudes' jobs is to sit in the private room and get regular old folk to talk about the sordid shit that they've done.
Yeah.
So, like, this is like how my affair's going, and, like, we did it on, we, you know, Shaggy comes in and says, we did it on the counter, and it was me.
Yeah.
And, they have to sit and listen to all this awesome stuff, and then they're like, okay, well, I can't do any of that. I've just got to forgive people.
Exactly. It's like they're watching ETV soft porn for like their whole life with these stories, like the Red Shoe Diaries in their life every day.
I remember the Red Shoe Diaries, dude.
All right. Ugh, well, what a disgusting gross story.
Really?
And again, I'll warn that you've got to be very vigilant around people who say they're hugely anti this. They're the ones, the biggest crusaders against it, like this guy who's now accused.
Mm.
He was the one who was saying it is disgusting and it's egregious and it's horrible. And why are you thinking about it so much if you're not doing it?
Keep in mind, accused, it does not mean proven guilty. I just want to throw out there before we crucify everybody and become the same hypocrites that we'll
become like Torquemada.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, where there's smoke, there's fire, and these dudes have been producing more smoke than Jamaica for centuries.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, in the case of this cardinal,
that's how they elect a pope, for God's sake.
Exactly. With smoke.
In the case of this cardinal, the charges against him came after a special task force was created back in 2013 already. So it would seem that there's been a group of individuals who've been watching closely, like monitoring this guy and digging around in his past.
4 years of digging around and they still haven't done anything?
Well, he was charged only on the 29th of June this year, Ben.
Like they're digging like limbless moles.
And his next court date will be on the 6th of October. But yeah.
All right. Well, there's another great success story for the Catholic Church. Moving on.
Well, let's sort of stick to sexual allegations, and I apologize if you're having breakfast right now as
R.
we
Kelly?
Quickly go through this. Not R. Kelly, but this time Usher. Remember last week he did come into the news?
Okay, all right.
It was
a
herpes story.
Exactly, because the herpes is still a hit. A new Atlanta woman has now come forward and is suing Usher for $20 million dollars. After claiming he gave her herpes. Oh, yeah. So according to the suit, which was filed by a Jane Doe, so they're still keeping her identity under wraps, the woman said Usher first had sex with her on the 16th of April at her home in Atlanta. This is so not romantic at all, when a condom was used. And then the woman had sex with Usher again 12 days later, this time in a hotel room, and a condom was not used that time. So after reading a news report that Usher admitted to having herpes in legal documents back in 2012, this is when the lady filed her lawsuit. Now, initially,
for God's sake, you know what? Ordinary people, non-celebrities, non-superstars are giving each other herpes every other day.
Yeah. But because you can get $20 million, this is why you do it.
Hasn't he already paid another woman?
Yes.
Okay.
So now they're all coming out of the woodwork.
Okay.
Now.
There was one woman.
Oh, the herpes burns. I get it.
Exactly.
Oh.
Thank you. Someone's paying attention.
I would happily get Usher's herpes for $20 million. I'll take two, in fact.
So there was a woman. There was a woman who sued him, and she was successful, and he paid her out, right?
Yes. That was a stylist to begin with. Now we don't know who this one is, but originally she filed for $10 million, stating that she was exposed but put at risk of contracting the virus when having unprotected sex, something that she would not have done had Usher told her he had the virus. But here's now the interesting thing. This young lady is being represented by Lisa Bloom. Now, I did not know who this lady was, but I Googled her. This lady has represented the likes of Kathy Griffin, has represented the likes of Janice Dickinson in the Bill Cosby case, and she's all about representing these high-profile female victims. Most recently has represented Black China with the whole Rob Kardashian thing. So best believe, this $20 million is basically as good as hers now.
Okay, so we're going into dangerous territory here. So I understand that, you know, there is a law that says that you can't go around having unprotected sex with people if you know that you have an STD of sorts. Like, that is illegal in the eyes of the law.
It's a violation of criminal law in many states in the US.
All right, but now, when does your responsibility as the other person engaging in unprotected sex stop? Like, why are you having unprotected sex with Usher? And can I just say that celebrities, we must assume that they're the filthiest of all of us.
Didn't Kanye sing?
Because they're the ones that are having the most sex, okay?
Yeah.
Athletes,
yeah.
Musicians,
yeah.
Rappers, all of them, like the whole lot of them movie stars, we must assume that they are having the most sex of all of us because everyone is trying to sleep with a celebrity.
They're having the most, their sex gets the most publicity. I challenge that one.
No, but I mean, if you are, if you are Justin Bieber, every second woman that you interact with is trying to get you to have sex with her. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, Justin Bieber can only say no to a degree
it's
before
a
he's
very
like,
difficult life.
Bring them in, revolving door. They are they are probably having more sex than the rest of us, is what I'm saying.
Gareth's like,
why are you having unprotected sex with these people?
Jealous down.
No. Gareth is
that is spot on.
Why are you having unprotected sex with an athlete?
Yeah. These people
are you insane?
Private.
Usher.
Are you insane?
Usher's sexy for a living. But it's like Gareth was rolling his
sexy for a living.
Gareth was rolling his eyes like to the point where they were going into orbit when Sia was explaining about how the woman is suing and like, you know, but at the same time, like if a guy is on record saying that he's got that he knows he has herpes, and then he talks you into having unprotected sex, or he has unprotected sex with you, and doesn't you agree to have unprotected sex, and he doesn't mention it?
Yeah,
it is like a swag thing.
And it is. It's illegal.
It's not like Gareth was like oh, it's. But at the same time, yeah, like if I'm seeing somebody, and then we decide, okay, let's go unprotected hashtag love vibes, and then I find out later she knew she had something, I'd be like also trying to sue her for $20 million. The other question I have is, and I don't know if we can, if this information is accessible, is has Usher got $20 million? What kind of figures is
no,
he
he's
in?
Doing okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that
yeah.
he can spare?
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's who the wants, last
it's,
of
it's
his
all relative.
I who mean, wants to give away $20 million?
But isn't it when you're suing, you know, go in with the highest amount because you're likely to get
down.
Less than that if you win the case.
I just want to point out that Kanye warned us about this a long time ago. Messing with no broke. Listen to this. I ain't saying she a gold digger. Listen. She ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Remember, there's a line in here about Usher.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remind ourselves. Cutie the bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Fars, girls, you got a flock, I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psychic told me she have a ex Serena, Trina, Gina for Lopez. Right. Four kids, and I gotta take all they bad to show this. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I put up in the bins, they all got a bin. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you f***ing with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. There we go. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to fuck with Usher.
There we go.
Now, let's not mess around.
There we go.
Kanye's warning us there.
Okay.
It's a portent of evil.
So, again, I'm going to go back to my question, Gord. Because in the eyes of the law, you can't go around having unprotected sex with people if you know that you have an STD. Now, me, as the other person having sex with you, at what point does my responsibility stop? My responsibility as someone who keeps hearing on a daily basis that I shouldn't be having unprotected sex with people anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, unprotected sex is a risk, but I think, like, it's a mutually taken risk coming in from, like, a base of zero, coming in from a base of good faith.
You trust.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't know or think that I have an STD, and I do go for fairly regular testing. Mm. Yeah. And so I could be wrong, but at this point, I believe that I don't have one.
Mm.
And if I was in a relationship and I believed that my partner didn't have one, ideally you go for tests and then you take your relationship to that level. And I believe in this stuff quite strong. I like to make jokes and whatever, but I think unprotected sex is a problem and whatever. So it's a good faith issue. It's like to the best of your knowledge. If you know or suspect and you're just like, okay, I'm going to keep that on the down low and because condom is not
your
favorite
crook.
Thing, then you're like, it is a criminal thing. It's a kind of assault.
Mm.
Oh.
Okay, do you want the last little cherry on the story, which is really the most cringe? Because now it's, you know, in court and everything is being revealed and everything has to be on record. Back in 2012, some legal documents obtained by Radar Online actually show that Usher admitted to learning of his herpes back in like 2009. And his sexual partner then claims that Usher convinced her that he had no STD despite a green discharge coming from his penis.
No, Usher, that's not how it works.
How in the
sickly
sick
do
you see green discharge?
If you go back, If you go bareback on a green discharge, you've got no one to blame but yourself.
And man, all Asha did then was cover her medical bills, even though she was diagnosed with the rope.
That's just cool. One last quick one on this. Can you not de-herp yourself? I mean, how does herp work? Can you? That's it. You herp once, you herp
cut it all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least with herpes simplex 1, the one that manifests as a cold sore, that apparently never goes away. It just lies dormant. But you never actually cured from the virus. It stays with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, this is simplex too.
And then there's the... Yeah, so,
the genital.
And then the genital stuff.
So
is
type
just
1
another,
is not a genital issue.
As far as I can remember, but...
And then what's Usher? Is Usher the simplex 3?
I don't know which one...
No, simplex 2.
I'm not saying... All I'm saying is he's...
Oh, okay. Thanks, Al.
Sounds like Usher's got his own simplex.
No, I mean, if Usher was having green discharges, then it wasn't just a cold sore for him, hey?
You're
like
a whore!
It was something.
It was a hot sore.
It was something worse.
You're a whore!
Oh, that's disgusting.
But it's a tough thing to bounce back from herpes, huh? Because, I mean, we've been speaking about Usher's herpes for 10 minutes now.
Oh, man.
So if he comes out with a new song, no matter what it is, like, oh, herpes, that guy.
Next time
he's
going to be
in tight pants gyrating the music video, and you're going, oh, green discharge.
Because sexy is kind of his thing, right?
Oh, gosh.
Even though he's got that unbelievably low hairline, which freaks me out a little bit. But.
And then Usher once did that song with R. Kelly where they sing about sleeping with the same girl.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yo, these two rock up at the party, you leave.
Ladies, let this be a warning. The money is not worth it.
Yeah.
No.
And please, you can't have unprotected sex with guys, celebrities.
Anyone, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be trusting people.
No, guys, no.
All right, pick a number: 1, 2, 3, or 4.
4.
4. All right, you pick 2, Gord.
3.
And Ben.
I'll pick 1.
Oh, you look so smart.
Amanda, you got it. Amanda's got to break the tie. Just pick any number between 1 and 4. Go on. 4. Okay. Then I've got some interesting news because, I mean, we know we like to follow what is going on in the news here and we try to pay attention to who's coming to South Africa and what kind of interesting things are happening. Mm-hmm. So guess who's coming to South Africa to do shows?
Oh, I know this one.
Well,
Fleetwood Mac.
No.
I'm sorry, did you say musician?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a musician. Oh.
Does he have herpes?
No.
Is he...
So not Usher, no.
Is
not
he,
R. Kelly.
And from the older generation, like old school vibes, or is it someone new and
old
current?
Old school vibes and a very, very talented musician. He's changed his name a number of times.
Yes, I know Cat Stevens.
I was going to ask if it's a Hiroshi person.
But. Before I try to make a second comeback and... This, I think I'm basically talking about myself in this one.
He's now called Yusuf Islam.
Oh, I'm not laughing.
That's been for a while, though.
Yeah, it has been for a long time. But what a talent. Listen to this guy doing his thing, right?
La 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 la.
Don't let anyone tell you he's not great.
Now that I've lost everything to you, say you wanna start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Maybe I'm grieving, but if you wanna leave, take good care.
I mean, the guy has a lot of hits, so it's hard to fit them all in. But you may remember this one. You don't know this, Sia?
I don't know who Cat Stevens is.
Give it a sec. Oh, give it a second, Sia. You're embarrassing yourself. You should have just said yes.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy.
I would love to see this guy in concert. Man, oh man, oh man. All right, how about this? What a talent with a guitar.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good.
You like that? Maybe?
Oh, I've been
Okay, how about this? If you don't like that, then how about this one? You'll know this song.
The sooner you say you like it, yeah, the sooner you start.
I would have given you all of my heart.
Oh, right, right, wait.
Yeah?
But there's someone who's torn it apart. And she's taken almost all that I've got. But if you want, I'll try to love again.
Beautiful, right?
But if baby, I'll try to
okay,
love
I know
again,
this song.
But I know. The first cut is the deepest. Baby, I know.
You don't know this?
The first cut is the
come on.
Deepest.
You thought that was going in the direction of George Michael's Last Christmas. I gave you my heart.
No.
Alright, shut up, you two. You're spoiling a good song. Amanda knows the stuff. She's singing along, right? Hang on.
Another Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. I got some money, cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way.
Isn't that beautiful? So, Amanda, you know this stuff.
I do. I love Cat Stevens.
Isn't he awesome? So he'll be in South Africa at some point. We just I saw some messages on Facebook yesterday about this. Now, there's someone I'd go and see. Man.
Well, he is down with the curl. I just Googled him now. Yeah. It looks like his like hair smells like lavender or something.
Wow, that's an
that's
interesting...
That's all I know of him now.
What an interesting thing to take away from that. All right. That's number four. I will save number one, two, and three for tomorrow. We don't have time. What I do want to do is go to Pramesh Chandran, who I actually met in Bonn in Germany just a couple of days ago in June. We met and we spoke about free speech in polarized societies, the state of journalism, and he's on the line via Skype to talk to us this morning, all the way from, where are you at the moment? Pramesh, where are you?
Hi, hi Cliff. I'm in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Very good, man. Nice
a couple of thousand miles away.
Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you too.
Now, Pramesh, the last time we spoke, I asked you all about Malaysia, and I asked you about the state of free speech in Malaysia, because there was obviously a reason that we were all four chosen for that panel, and you told me some interesting things that I did not know. What exactly is going on politically in Malaysia right at the moment? Help us to understand.
Well, Malaysia has been independent for 60 years. It's our 60th year of independence, and essentially, one coalition of parties has been in power for these 60 years. There's been no transfer of power. And that has been done through, fairly restrictive civil liberties. So control over the media, control over the elections. So it's been pretty difficult having a functioning democracy, although we have elections in every 5 years. Essentially, one party comes back. And that's made it very difficult for media to operate freely.
Well, you've been a teacher, a labor researcher, a journalist, and you are the co-founder and chief executive officer of MalaysiaKini.com, which is the top independent online media business in Malaysia. Apparently, you reach over 5 million readers monthly in four different languages. That sounds like an enormous operation.
Yeah, we've been going for 18 years. We launched in 1999. The interesting thing about Malaysia is that, in the mid-90s, the government wanted to attract investment into the IT and the internet sector, and they agreed to keep the internet free of censorship. So while, print and broadcast are fairly restricted, you get much more space online. And then, of course, with the growth of social media and mobile phones, today, the internet space is kind of the most robust and most, read space for news. In Malaysia, access to the internet is up to 80%. So we have very high, high use of the internet. So this is why Malaysia Kini is able to, come online and produce good content and, get a very large readership and also make our business sustainable and profitable since 2008.
Do the government encroach upon your freedom of speech as an independent media organization? Are there always predations upon that by people in society who support the government?
Yes, I think that there is some amount of harassment. We have got had a whole list of defamation cases filed against us, including a current ongoing case by the Prime Minister himself with First Media he sued. and as well as the ruling party has also sued us. There are also criminal charges against myself and my partner, Stephen, who's the editor for, you know, a video that we've published. So there's an ongoing, you know, kind of a tense relationship, you know, with the government of the day. But we're able to stand our ground and do our independent reporting.
Well, all the way here in South Africa, it sometimes feels to us like Malaysia is a different universe. What are the major political issues in Malaysia, if you think about the things that get people fired up, the things that get people talking on social media, the things that dominate the headlines in your own independent papers?
Malaysia and South Africa has, you know, much in common. Our politics is very driven by race, you know, by religion, by ethnicity. Our political parties, majority of the political parties are along those lines, and then they form coalitions to try to, you know, get the vote. So we've had this sort of religious and ethnic tension in the country for a very long time.
Right.
But you know, that's kind of the front line of politics. But behind it, you know, whenever you have one party in power for too long, the real issue is the kind of corruption, the abuse of power. You know, and for the people, you know, it's jobs, it's rising prices, you know, many things that you also face in South Africa.
Do you know much about what's going on here in terms of our own politics at the moment, aside from what you managed to read? Are people at all interested in what's happening in Africa?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously during the apartheid era, South Africa was a major focus, you know, and we're all glad that, you know, perhaps that era is over and there's big changes. But I know you read the news now, and there are also a lot of allegations of corruption and abuse of power. And I think that happens whenever one party is in power for too long.
Yeah, that's precisely what we've got a situation with here, is that our own party that won the first elections that our free country voted in 1994 have retained power all the way up to now. And for the first time ever, it looks like they're starting to become vulnerable.
Yeah, I think you know, that, you know, any healthy democracy, you know, you need you know, a few parties, at least two parties, you know, vying for power and possibly for a change, and that makes everybody accountable. You know, that everybody wants to start performing better when they know they could lose power.
Right. Now, what about all the other places around you? What sort of international relations do you have with your immediate neighbors, Indonesia, Laos, even Bangladesh and India, slightly to the other side? What sort of relations do you have with China, for example, in Malaysia?
Malaysia is part of the Association for Southeast Asian Nations, also known as ASEAN. It's a grouping of 10 countries, you know, sandwiched between China and India. So China and India have been always the big powers, and Southeast Asia is kind of in the middle. But as a market, we are 600 million people, so it's a huge market. If you take, you know, China's 1.2 billion, India is about a billion plus, and, you know, Southeast Asia is 600 million. So it's a pretty huge market. It's always been very contested. We've had, you know, communist-led countries such as Vietnam and, you know, one time Cambodia. In Laos, we've had, you know, authoritarian rules of the likes of Marcos and Suharto in Indonesia. We currently have a military rule in Thailand. We used to have a military rule in Burma. So it's really kind of, you know, hotspot. You know, Singapore is a successful state, but also, you know, without a change of government since their independence in the 1960s. So essentially, Malaysia and ASEAN, there's been no major conflict, there are no wars, and they have a principle of non-interference where, you know, each country does not interfere in the others. But of course, recently, South Asia has become much more dependent on China, and China is actually investing significantly in Southeast Asia, in Malaysia. You know, there's been a lot of corruption scandals in Malaysia. And you may have heard that the U.S. Department of Justice has filed a kleptocracy case against our prime minister and seizing assets over $1 billion U.S. dollars in the U.S., the biggest kleptocracy asset seizure in U.S. history. And, you know, in the wake of that that charges of these assets, Malaysia has now turned to China and has signed a few billion dollar deals with China in terms of, you know, Chinese investment. So I think you know, any Chinese investment into the country is, of course, in one sense welcome, But however, if they are, you know, the strategic considerations, then you know, that's something of concern.
Are you telling me that that's the largest case of corruption ever lodged in America?
Largest case of corruption with regards to kleptocracy. So look, the kleptocracy unit under the FBI is seizes assets which have been obtained illegally or you know using money laundering, etc. And it is the largest, by far, the largest case of corruption.
How much is it?
I think there have been several cases. The initial one was $1 billion. I now think it has gone over. They've identified more assets used or you know money laundered and abused. So it's gone far higher than $1 billion. I'm not sure the exact number at the moment.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, good luck with that. It would be nice if the people of Malaysia actually got some of that money back, wouldn't it?
Yes. So there's a big question mark there. You know, what happens to the money once they seize it? No point in returning it to the government. So it's a big question mark, you know, what happens to those assets?
Well, Pramesh, it was really a pleasure to meet you at the conference in Bonn, the Global Media Forum. And I thought when we got back here, it would be a good idea to contact you and find out about the similarities between South Africa and Malaysia. And it is a pleasure to speak to you again. I hope that we'll continue to communicate and keep us informed about what's going on in Malaysia and the rest of that region.
Yeah, very glad to be on the show, Cliff. All the best. I'm sure heaps of challenges with freedom of expression in South Africa. Good luck to you.
Indeed we do. Thank you very much, Pramesh. There we go. That's Pramesh Chandran, who is the co-founder and the chief executive officer of MalaysiaKini.com, which is the top independent online media institution in Malaysia, reaching over 5 million readers monthly in 4 languages. Quite something, huh? Mm. How much did you know about Malaysia before that? Not a lot is the answer.
Evidently.
All right. So Rusty says, I need to see Cat Stevens. He is the reason I smoke weed.
Wow.
Roman says, Cat Stevens is a legend. See, I must stop listening to Beyonce and listen to some real music. Huh. Lots of criticism for Sia coming in. then this one. Wow, thanks for that music. A reminder of some of the awesome parties with Cat Stevens, as we called him.
So why, sorry, does he change his name or has he changed his name?
He converted to Islam.
Okay.
And so became Yusuf Islam. There is a chance more girls will have sex with Usher now so they can get money. Some hoes dig in the trash looking for condoms used by celebs.
Oh. Well, Gord said himself he'll take his herpes for 20.
Yeah, there we go. He did.
Usher has said two. I'll take two herpes.
Usher has complex 10 rather than simplex 2. Mm. That's according to someone online. So there are lots of people who have things to say about Usher. Lots of people not big fans of what Usher's done. And the things that he's been up to. All right, we're going to take a break and get the podcasts cut up. And you can join us in the next hour. We'll meet two of the SABC 8. You know who they are, Mubs?
Yes, Gareth.
Yeah, very, very brave people who decided in the middle of what was going on at the SABC with Claudi Motsoeneng and all kinds of threats to their own journalistic credibility that they were going to stand up and be counted. And this morning, they will join us to talk about all the interesting things that they went through as an SABC collective, and also the death of one of their compatriots just the other day. A very mysterious situation that evolved with Suna Fenta. So we'll find out all about that in a short while with two of the SABC 8 who are going to join us. They are Tandega Obule and Krivani Pele, both in the studio in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. This is just for Sia, so we can get him acclimatized.
This is CliffCentral.com.